Les colloques du Collège de France.
Okay, so let's start this afternoon session, the last one for this conference, and I am very happy of introducing David Riclenk. David is a full professor at Mines Paris, and his work focuses on computational mechanics, development and advanced numerical method. He's particularly known for his work on model order reduction and hyper-reduction techniques. And more recently, he explored the link between reduced order modeling, manifold learning, deep learning, scientific machine learning, digital twins, and real-time simulation. So David will present his contribution on self-supervised machine learning and ROMNet for mechanics of materials.
Okay. Thank you, Yvon, for this nice invitation to contribute to your symposium on mathematics and applied approach for model order reduction and complexity reduction. So my background is on computational mechanics for materials. And I'm going to focus my talk on elliptic equation. That's quite a simple equation, but we need that to develop complexity reduction for materials. We really need that, and I'm going to explain. Okay, so I'm quite a good surprise to see that a mathematical community is doing the connection with machine learning, and especially during this work this week we have a lot of work about autoencoder. So self-supervised machine learning can be performed by autoencoders, of course, and I will propose you a specific strategy for material science. Okay, so I'm going to develop specific self-supervised machine learning for mechanics of materials. And I would like to start with a warning about the naive use of artificial intelligence, because there is at least three risks. The first one is the skill erosion, the loss of human expertise, especially in scientific engineering. So, and the other risk is the undetected bias and error when we have prediction from artificial intelligence model. And the third one is an excessive standardization of the data set, and this is the reason why we need a physics-based simulation to create a synthetic data set in order to avoid excessive standardization if we just only focus on experimental data or industrial data. They are not they don't have enough variation in this kind of experimental data set. So this is an illustration on the right of what I'm able to do as a naive user of artificial intelligence to illustrate the collaboration between artificial intelligence model, the rabbit, and the finite element model, the turtle. And contrary to the famous Jean de La Fontaine tale, here they aim to collaborate just now. And the rabbit aims to develop a reduced order model by using a data set from finite element simulation. Okay, to mitigate the risk I mentioned above, there is a route of integrating physics-based modeling with artificial intelligence. And this was already illustrated during this week. And to integrate these things, we can work at the intersection of computational mechanics, where we have a partial differential equation, L, the variable U and several parameters like time and mu, and the output of interest is denoted Y. And to develop this kind of integration, we can develop, obviously, model order reduction. It is one of the possible answer for combating the risk of eroding scientific skills when using artificial intelligence model. Obviously, we have also large industrial data that we would like to couple with a mechanical model, and this is also possible thanks to this integration. So it is just a short recall of what is artificial intelligence and self-supervised machine learning, which is a kind of supervised machine learning to learn the identity function. And the idea is to get pre-trained model from data that are trained to the task of dimensionality reduction. We can also use masking strategies there. And after, once we have this pre-trained model, we can use it in a projection-based model order reduction in the framework of a large framework of scientific machine learning. And I will focus my talk on a kind of hyper-reduction. I would develop an intelligent boundary condition for a submodeling approach. It's a kind of extension of hyper-reduction. And I will talk a little bit of projection-based model order reduction. So we need data, and numerical models are very nice to create synthetic data that are needed to extend the variability of data when we consider industrial application. So we need to choose a well-calibrated finite element model, the turtle. This turtle has to be well-calibrated to represent some example. We will say that the data here are related to a digital twin of something. And after, we have to choose an ambient space for data. And this is not trivial. It depends on the application. It could be a tensor data space or something, a graph or something else. And after, we need to store the data, obviously, and we need to augment the data. And I will talk a little bit of that. And after, we have to choose an architecture and a loss function for the autoencoder that we are going to train for the task of dimensionality reduction. And after, we can adapt the pre-trained model to any kind of task, especially projection-based model order reduction. So I'm going to develop a simple example in material science. So we consider a void in a volume. So the void is in yellow in the picture. And the Hilbert space depends on the shape of the domain, but this shape of the domain depends on an image we have on the void. So we imagine we have a tomographic data, and in that tomographic data, we can observe voids in materials. And we would like to compute the mechanical variables around the voids of arbitrary shape. So since we do that, we have already a local affine space because the Hilbert space depends locally on the shape of the domain. So it's a kind of a problem that is quite difficult, I think. And if you have any advice to get mathematical property for that, I will enjoy it. So I will focus on the elliptic equation for L. And this elliptic equation is linear with respect to the boundary condition. And we will consider the non-linearity only with respect to the shape of the domain, the shape of the void. And I plot here the blue points are the three-dimensional latent space of the shape of the voids.
And L is
the linear? Yes. L it's a divergence of it's a kind of problem. I will show you it's a divergence problem here. Elastic, linear elasticity. Yeah, it's a PD. Yeah, yeah. L, it's a PD. Sorry, I didn't mention that.
Okay. So U is the solution of L equals
0. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. You got it. And UD is a Dirichlet boundary condition because I'm going to discuss the size of the blue domain that surrounds the void. And we have a discussion about the omega. So it is both the size of the surrounding domain and also the shape of the void. So I'm going to develop two kind of approach, a machine learning approach, a learning of intelligent boundary condition in order to apply this boundary condition on the boundary of the omega domain, which is in blue here. And we also have developed a learning of Grassmann manifold in order to perform a projection-based model order reduction. Okay, so the data are there. So the input data, it's a kind of industrial data. We do a tomography, we get this void in the material, and this is an input data, and I would like to predict the output data, which are the here, 9 strain fields around the defect related to elasticity. And the idea is to consider three boundary conditions related to macroscopic loading, two tension macroscopic stress, and one shear macroscopic stress. So this is three boundary conditions in each column. And we have three local response in terms of strain component for this boundary condition. And we could address this problem using a simple regression task, but the idea is to do self-supervised machine learning in order to understand the representation of all the data. So the target application could be either a regression model to get a snapshot depending on the image, or another application is the construction of a local radius basis depending on this image. And obviously we need to adapt the loss depending on the target application, because if we need to construct a local radius basis, we need to consider a Grassmann manifold and a distance in Grassmann manifold, not the usual L2 error. Okay, this is the partial differential equation in elasticity. So the way we get the data is not the way we are going to use them. So to get the data, we consider a domain, a blue domain, in a dilution condition. This means that the blue domain omega FT is almost is very large, such that it imitates the infinity domain. And we apply macroscopic boundary condition there on the blue domain. And after, in inference time, we would like to have a mechanical prediction in the orange domain where there is a void. So the setting of the target problem is related to omega, and we need Dirichlet boundary condition to solve this problem. So we have many theoretical results thanks to ellipticity related to coercivity and continuity. And this is a computer vision task where the input is an image, I, and we need to describe the domain of this void. And after, we have to predict the strain fields, Y, and we can also predict the boundary condition to solve a sub-model onto the orange domain. Okay. So when we discuss boundary condition, we will name that intelligent boundary condition because we try to get this boundary condition from an image using a neural network. Okay, so if I consider the error on a boundary condition, I need to consider the conditioning of the stiffness matrix, and therefore I can consider the linearity with the boundary condition of the right on and side term here. Here. It's fully linear with respect to boundary condition. And thanks to this conditioning property, I'm able to have several theoretical property. The first one is related to Sears' lemma, and the second one is related to Saint-Venant principle. And we can do a hybridization between the two theoretical properties. I will develop that later. So I recall the classical Sears' lemma, and we can directly apply this to model order reduction thanks to ellipticity. If we have a reduced vector space Vn, small n, in that is a subspace of the finite element vector space V capital N. If we have the V small n, it is a reduced order model, and the Sears lemma tell us that if we have a good representation on the right of the solution that we would like to compute, if this upper bound is small, this means that we have a good representation of the target solution with a reduced space. And if that, the projection-based model order reduction using a Galerkin approximation will give us the good approximation of the target solution. So we don't need more for elliptic problem. And for in the framework of model order reduction. And we have another interesting property for such kind of elliptic problem. It's the Saint-Venant principle. And it tells us that the solution, if we consider the solution inside the orange domain, and if we expand this orange domain toward the blue domain, then the solution in the mechanical variable inside the orange domain do not depend on the fluctuation part of the boundary condition applied to the orange domain. So in the infinity domain, we can choose fluctuation equal to zero. And this is a very interesting property in order to have an extension of hyperreduction, because if we can find good approximation of boundary condition, we can reduce this orange domain to fit the void. Okay, so here is a finite element approximation. I'm using a multi-scale formalism. This means that we have a macroscopic displacement field that comes from a macroscopic strain tensor E, and we have the lifting function of the boundary, directly boundary condition that depends on the void. And we have the fluctuation of the displacement inside the orange domain, and we have a finite element discretization for that. And The target application first is the learning of boundary conditions. So we can imagine to develop a neural network to predict the Dirichlet boundary condition, or a neural network to predict the lifting function depending on the image over the full domain omega. So we need to consider this error of the prediction of the finite element solution using our neural network, either based on the lifting function or either on the intelligent boundary condition. And here we need to consider this delta variation with respect to the lifting function. Yes.
So it's related to the approximation of the boundary condition for an elliptic problem. So it's an H1 error is bounded by the H1 abnorm of the difference between the boundary condition, no?
Yeah. This is the purpose of this, yeah. So if you have more information about that, I would be it would be great to give it to me, because here I have an analysis only based on the condition number of the finite element stiffness, but obviously we could develop that in a more continuous framework. And this is the idea. So to get the following upper bound, that means if we are able to learn the good representation of a Dirichlet boundary condition, therefore, when we will solve the submodel, thanks to this boundary condition, we will get a good approximation of the solution. This is the idea. It's similar to projection-based model order reduction, but we just restrict the domain where we solve the partial differential equation. Okay. So now we have this, we need to create our data set. So we have quite few examples of voids. There is 2,000 examples only. And so for each of these examples, we are able to develop a calibrated finite element model, I mean a digital twin, and we can run a finite element simulation. So we have a new axis that it is related to all the data we are able to get from a finite element simulation. It's not only an image and a strain field, but also stress and so on. And after that, I need to augment the data, because it's 2,000 is too few to understand the relationship between the shape and the mechanical field. So we are doing small perturbation around each digital twin. We change slightly the shape of the void. We can share it, we can extend it slightly with small perturbation, and therefore we have a set of augmented data and digital twins. And after, obviously, we can develop an autoencoder for the approximation of the displacement field. But this is not the way we decided to develop. We have an alternative way. The idea is to have an autoencoder that gives us a local coordinate through all the multimodal data, that is both industrial data, the image, the simulation results, and the output of the finite element prediction. And we would like to develop this kind of autoencoder to get this latent space around inside all multimodal data. And this is quite different from we already seen this during this week. So we have a multimodal autoencoder, and then During inference time for regression task, for instance, we can develop a downstream model in order to do the regression between the image and the strain field. And we can use the result of the autoencoder in order to reduce the dimensionality of the regression task. This means that in that way, we just need to develop the last part of the regression task in order to transform the input image into a latent variable. And then we have to learn the connection between latent variable and strain fields. So it's an easier task thanks to dimensionality reduction of the latent variable. And this is the architecture, the general architecture we propose for a multimodal autoencoder. So we have two kinds of modality. One is related to the input image, and one is related to the strain field. And so in the training time, we have the full autoencoder. And in this autoencoder, the latent space variable Z3 must be equal to Z1 and Z2. All of these three latent variables are trained to be equal, more or less. So we can put that in the loss function and take the average value for Z3 during the training. And once this multimodal architecture has been trained, we can use it in a cross-modal prediction. We don't need this input. We can take the image as an input. We get the latent variable that should be a multimodal latent variable for both strain and image. And then we can decode this latent variable to get the strain field prediction. And we can also reconstruct the input image. And one interesting thing of this reconstruction is that we can have an error indicator to check if we are still in the training domain of our autoencoder. And this works very well. So this is an illustration of the training of this autoencoder. So this is an example of the trained data set related to the strain fields around the void. And after the training, we have a good prediction of the ground truth related to strain fields. And what is very interesting is that we have the map of the accumulated error over all the test set. If I consider the orange domain omega that contains many k's of voids, and I accumulate the error on this domain, I see that the error is concentrated around the voids. And this is fully consistent with the Saint-Venant principle I explained before. So, therefore, I'm able to pick up boundary condition here in order to solve the finite element problem into a submodel that it is very small. In this kind of architecture, since we have a data with a tensor format, we use a convolutional layer to develop the autoencoder. And we also develop a similar work for fracture mechanics. So the idea is to have an image of a crack, a planar crack in a 3D volume. And we have developed the similar thing to predict the displacement field as a boundary condition to what we call a tight local volume around the crack. Therefore, we solve the finite element problem with very few elements. And this is the way we do the training. And so the volume to get the data for the training, the volume is larger than the volume where we do inference of the data. And after training, we have this density error for prediction on the test data. And we can observe that at the ghost point of the mesh, we have quite accurate data for most of the data. And this is an illustration of the local prediction using in the middle the sub-model with intelligent boundary condition on the tight local volume. And this is the reference finite element solution restricted to the box of the Darling boundary condition. And these are the distribution of the error related to plasticity, because here we are able to compute local plasticity. It's not a generalized plasticity, it's very local. And thanks to that, we have the density distribution of error related to plasticity that are quite similar for the train set, the validation set, and the test set. And this means that we have a good generalization property. And if we discuss the speed up and the error, we can plot the number, this error and the speed up depending on the number of degrees of freedom in the tight local volume. So here it is an example of the smallest volume here, which give around 15% of error in average in this volume. And with a speed up of more than 100. So this is very interesting. Obviously, thanks to a kind of principe de Saint-Venant, we have, with larger domain, subdomain, we have a smaller error, but smaller speed up. And if I have time, I would like to also discuss another kind of self-supervised machine learning related to piecewise linear latent space. I would like to thank Anthony Nui, thanks to for the presentation of this morning that helps to better understand the bibliography around this. And the idea is to consider not a a continuous nonlinear latent space, but a piecewise linear latent space. And we can start by considering the digital twins in our data set and to check if we can augment this digital twin by staying in the same local linear latent space. And a linear latent space means that we can apply the proper orthogonal decomposition to represent the data, and that give access to a local reduced basis. And there is a lot of work of Benjamin Bernard on that. And here, the novelty is that we can consider time, but also the shape of the domain as a parameter. And thanks to that, we are able to develop the latent space by a clustering strategy, and it is an aggregative clustering. This means that we start by computing several local reduced bases, and if these local reduced bases are similar, the aggregative clustering will create a larger group. And after this clustering, we have a larger local reduced order model than that we can use to exploit this piecewise latent space. And to exploit it, we just need a classifier that take the image, the input parameter, and find the right label of the piecewise linear latent space. And once we have the right label, we have access to a local reduced basis, and therefore we can do the projection-based prediction. So the novelty here is to use a computer vision task to solve a classification problem. And this is another application in the continuity of the first example. So here we have many voids into a welded joint. We have locally, so there is two localities, the one related to the piecewise latent space, and it is related also to each of the voids. For each void, we have a fluctuation reduced basis, and we split the displacement description into a global macroscopic reduced basis and several local reduced basis depending on the shape of the void, and we agglomerate all of these reduced basis into a single one that coupled everything. So during training, each local reduced basis for the void are trained as if we have separated the scales, and during inference time, when we do projection-based model order reduction, we coupled everything. And we have very good results. And here, the errors are quite low in terms of percent, and the speed-up are very high, especially if we have access to a dictionary of reduced basis for each void. And I'm going to finish here. I have several applications around self-supervised machine learning. It is not only for dimensionality reduction task. For instance, we can also consider a super resolution scheme in order to have a kind of multi-grid solver where the small scale is solved by a neural network. It is very useful for crystal plasticity because we have very complex local details in crystal plasticity, and I'm not sure that we are able to do a kind of projection-based method for that because of the variety of the materials locally. So I prefer to develop a super resolution scheme there. And there is also an extension of the GAPI PUD. It is related to mask autoencoder. You can mask, during the training, you can mask your data in order to train an autoencoder. And thanks to this strategy, you incorporate a data augmentation scheme because there is a different way to mask the data. And thanks to this, there is a very interesting application of dimensionality reduction that is anomaly detection, and we apply this to polycrystal materials. And so on. I don't want to speak that much on this all this contribution. Thank you for your attention. If you have a question, you're welcome.
Collège de France. Le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.